Prophet of mercy, O my beloved, Prophet of mercy, O my beloved, Prophet of mercy.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Please repeat after me. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله.
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله.
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله.
على آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله.
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله.
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله.
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. It's the day of judgment. You're brought in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. You've got to give accountability. You've got your deeds or lack of them. You've got all your mistakes. But then there is something in your book of deeds which pleases Allah Azza wa Jal. And because of it, you gain forgiveness. How amazing would that be? The ultimate exam, and you pass it because of this special thing that you did while you were alive. Would you not like to know what that could be? Listen to this hadith mubarak. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, whoever desires for Allah Almighty to be pleased with him when he is presented in his court, he should recite Durood-e Pak upon me abundantly. Subhanallah, what a great gift. We know that our deeds are not that good. We know that our sins are like the mountains. But if we could decorate our life with Durood-e Pak of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then with the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal and the blessings of Durood-e Pak, we will be successful on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first thing to be created in the world was the Nur of Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it remained in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal for thousands, millions of years. Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. And then Allah Azza wa Jal created the rest of the universe and the world and all the creation from this nur. Subhanallah. Then Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was created. And this nur, this special light, was placed in the forehead of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. And you remember when the angels were ordered to prostrate to Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam out of respect, the scholars write that actually that was a prostration to the nur of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was in the forehead mubarak of Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. Subhanallah. That nur then came to Hazrat Hawwa radiallahu ta'ala anha. And as we will hear, then passed through pious people, great personalities, amazing prophets, magnificent messengers, and then came to two personalities, two hastis, which were unique in the world. Character-wise, looks-wise, they were beautiful and amazing and magnificent. But they had an honor. They had a privilege. They had a status which is unmatched. Why? Because they were the parents of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And today we are going to discuss these amazing hastis, these amazing and magnificent personalities, because of whom or through whom we were blessed with the mercy to the world. I've got with me, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, our beloved Shiraz Bey, who's mashallah traveled here this morning. Shiraz Bey, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Jazakallah for taking the time, Shiraz Bey. Alhamdulillah, we've got a very unique topic. In the month of Milad-e Pak, where we sing the praises of Akram sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and we talk about the mu'jizat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and the beautiful life and the amazing sunnah and the glorious Quran, which was the greatest miracle of Akram sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Also, we do talk about the amazing parents, the beautiful parents of Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is our topic today. I'm going to start off by taking you back slightly to the beginning, because I've slightly mentioned it, but I want you to give us an idea of how this all started, because Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam is created. And there was also that riwayat where when Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam learnt that the Noor of Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was within him, he said, I want to kiss that Noor. And he was shown that it would be transferred to his thumbs and that he would kiss it and rub it on his eyes as well. So this was the ta'zeem and respect he had for the Noor of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What happened after that? So Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam is created, the Noor is there. He's feeling amazing because he's been created. He's got all the knowledge that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given him. He's got this amazing status of being the father of entire creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the human beings. And then, as well as all of that, the biggest thing that he had was the Noor of Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in this Noor came from Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam to Hazrat Sayyidina Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha. And then, where did it go from there?
So from there, this journey of this Noor, and you know, in every individual that carried this Noor, they had certain signs of this Noor.
Allah.
You know, physical, visible signs on the body. You would tell, or a person who would know about this Noor could see that this person is a carrier at this time. But it's one of the secrets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this amanat was given from Allah to Adam alayhi salam, and then from there to Hazrat Hawa salamun alayha, from there to Sheith alayhi salam.
Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam had many children, and they were all born as twins. But the last child to be born was born alone, and it was Hazrat Sheith alayhi salam, who was a great prophet of Allah azza wa jalla. So Sheith alayhi salam then was... So the others had the barakats and blessings of the Noor, but that Noor didn't actually pass to them. It passed to Hazrat Sheith alayhi salam.
Yeah, and then from Sheith alayhi salam, this Noor then followed on to the next woman, then from the woman.
From there, Zawja Mubarakah, their wife Mubarak, and then to... And did it always stay within... we know that it stayed within the pious people, but it wasn't always the Anbiya Ikram, was it?
It wasn't always the Anbiya, but Anbiya alayhi salam, they played a major role, especially transferring it from Jannat to here, Adam alayhi salam. And then, so it was a mix of different people, but the condition was that every one of those individuals had to be a believer.
Allah.
Had to be a pure person.
Subhanallah.
And that is basically our belief, that this Noor came, it had a long journey. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, that, and Allah speaks to the Prophet that وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْعَزِيزِ الرَّحِيمِ, that place your complete trust in the most dominant, the merciful. الَّذِي يَرَاكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ, the one who sees you whilst you are standing performing prayer. وَتَكَلُّبَكَ فِي السَّاجِدِينَ, and you're transferring from one sajid to another.
Allah, Allah.
So this Noor, Allah like explicitly tells us that this journey, Allah Azza wa Jalla, and what does he say? He says, put your trust in the one who sees you whilst you are standing. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would do qiyam at the hajjud time when everyone's asleep.
Allah.
Put your trust in that one, in one deity, entity. And then he says, the one who kept you in pure wombs and in pure lineage from Adam alayhi salam all the way up until your blessed mother in the lineage of Sajideen. So this entire lineage, Allah has classed it as the Sajideen.
Subhanallah. Amazing. You know, when you think back though, and you put it into context, you've got Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, you had their offspring, you had their children who were in the hundreds, and then they had children. So you had all these different lineages coming down, but then the Noor was transferred to Hazrat Sheith alayhi salam, and then from there to the next prophet, and the next pious person, and the next pious person, and all the way through. So you had these probably millions over the years, yeah, thousands and millions of years, all these lineages going down, passing through. But the one for Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that straight, pure one that came all the way to the parents of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's just amazing. So the Noor Mubarak of Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passes through to Hazrat Sheith alayhi salam, other blessed messengers and Anbiya Ikram, and some very, very pious people. I mean, the standard of people we're talking about, if they're amongst the Anbiya Ikram, you know, these are the very pious and the most blessed people to walk the surface of the earth. And it passes over time. And you, as you very beautifully said, these people knew that it was the Noor of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the other thing that I wanted to kind of just bring in here was that some of these did knew, because they gave every single prophet that came, gave the glad tidings of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, didn't they?
Every prophet. So that was, so two jobs the prophet had was to fulfill the role of da'wah. So complete the da'wah, inviting towards the religion that they were given. The second one, that one of his farz of a Nabi, you know, in our language or dialect, is that he has to announce who the final prophet
So in
that category is to announce the next prophet and then the final prophet. So both of them handed.
So would it be right for me to say that every prophet of Allah who blessed the earth and guided the people sang the Naat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or celebrated the Milad of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam effectively, because celebrating the Milad is talking about the arrival of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into this world. And we know that the prophecies, inshallah, in our second episode, we're going to talk about that as well. But coming back to this, so eventually, passing through all these pious people, the nur that was placed in the forehead Mubarak of Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam arrived at Hazrat Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala.
What happened? You know, the flood of Nuh alayhi salam came. The flood of Nuh alayhi salam came. Everyone was drowned apart from Nuh alayhi salam. Three of his sons and around 70 to 80 believers who went onto the ark, yeah. So that Noor was on the Ark of Noah at one point. And this
SubhanAllah.
It was on the Ark of Noah, and everyone else who disbelieved in Allah Azza wa Jalla, they were drowned. Whoever went against the call of, you know, whatever Nuh alayhi salam announced, they became drowned. And now,
so whoever, sorry to interrupt you, whoever boarded the ark and whoever took hold of this Noor was the one who survived. And whoever thought, like the son of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, who said, I'm going to climb up a mountain, and because he didn't take the ark and the Noor,
what happened was that you've come to a very beautiful point. You know, when Nuh alayhi salam was a very humble servant, a very shukur, how Allah describes,
very grateful.
Grateful person. And in his heart, he felt sadness that my son didn't accept what I said. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, because he didn't accept the call and he became drowned, Allah said to him that he's not your family.
Allahu Akbar.
He is not your family member because he didn't accept. Point is that anyone who is not a believer is not part of the family.
Allah.
So you know, if anyone, like for example, has a doubt, Allah just mentions this, that one of the proofs that Allah has given that the parents and all the lineage from Prophet ﷺ to Adam alayhi salam are pure individuals, is the fact that if there is any, and pure meaning believers, if there is any impure, they are not the family. They are not the family. So this, him, Nuh alayhi salam, his son, he was grieving. Now, you know, my son, he became drowned. He didn't accept the call.
He didn't come onto the ark.
Allah says, don't grieve. He's not your family member. And you know, Islamically, a Muslim doesn't inherit a non-Muslim father. So you know the inheritance that he leaves behind. He doesn't. So shara'an, you know, that stops, that inheritance stops as well. The ties are cut off.
Now, coming to Hazrat Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib, they had a number of sons, and there was one son who was most adorable, cherished, beautiful, perfect character, beautiful manners, and everything else. That was Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala, the blessed father of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was unique in everything that he did. He stood out. And wherever he went, people would be mesmerized by him. And the historians write that women would want to marry him. So many women who would beautiful women, and they had this desire to marry him just because they looked at him, they couldn't take their eyes off him. And the scholars write that the reason that happened was it was the nur of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This nur which was going to light up the world, which was on the blessed face Mubarak of Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala. And so whoever looked at it just could not look away. They were mesmerized by it. It actually reminds me of that night that Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala, the full moon is there and Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there as well. And Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala looks at the beautiful face of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, looks at the moon, and then he has to admit that, Ya Rasulullah, you are more beautiful than the moon on the 14th night. And you know, one of the scholars interprets that because saying that Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala was saying, actually, when I look at the moon, I can take my eyes back off. But Ya Rasulullah, when I look at your beautiful face, I find it difficult to look back away. And that was the nur. So you can imagine these people at the time of Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala, that when they were looking at this beautiful face.
You just, so you know, just before this time, between Isa alayhi salam and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there was around 642 years, taqriban, from what I remember, 642 years. So you know, during this time, I remember Isa alayhi salam's final, one of his tasks was to announce the next prophet.
Subhanallah. And the glorious Quran tells us about that.
And he announced the final prophet. I think the Quran says, Ismuhu Ahmad.
His he name gives us the name.
Ahmad, yeah. Now, there was an occasion I was reading where in the marketplace in Makkah, someone was either dealt with wrong, someone was shortchanged, or something was, you know, sold and it was broken. There was some sort of problem in the transaction and he wasn't getting a refund in the market. And so the blame went on a certain individual who was actually in the right. He didn't do nothing wrong. And he, at that time, this was before the time of the Prophet, before he was born. But there was this phrase that they would use. And he actually said that, I swear in the Nabi that is going to be sent in the final, Akhira Zaman. I mean, the final time.
I swear with the final message.
So there was this waiting or arrival
Allah.
They knew they could feel it in the air. That something special is about to happen. So they would use, like, they would always talk about the Nabi that's going to come in the final time in their conversations. When they would pick a qasam, they would swear on the final Nabi that's going to come.
Hannah, that's a beautiful point you make, because a lot of people were moving around waiting for the last and final messenger.
Waiting for that justice to come.
And waiting for Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He traveled somewhere. You remember the Raib, the monk, Brera? And he was actually waiting for the final prophet to come. So there's all over the world, the pious people were waiting for the Nur of Aka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to shine forth and waiting for this. And there was a famous waqia as well where there was a woman in Mecca who was non-Muslim, but she had a desire to marry Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala, and she would constantly badger him and everything else, and he was pious and stayed away from all of this. And she tried to, you know, say to everybody and everything else. And then after Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala, and she tried to lure him as well, but he was obviously a very pious person, so he wouldn't even look. And, you know, there came a time where Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala gets married, and we'll talk about who he gets married to in a few moments, but he gets married, and then after the marriage, this woman sees him, looks at him and says, no, I don't want to marry him anymore now, because what I was looking for is now gone from the forehead. And that was how amazing it was. But there was another waqia that the scholars write, that Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala is in a jungle. And some disbelievers see him and they see something special about him. They see the Nur of Aka Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they say, look, we recognize that there were disbelievers from Syria. And they say, we recognize that this is the father of the final messenger. So they, because they're disbelievers, they try to martyr him, right? And he's alone in this jungle, and suddenly, from nowhere, some horse riders come from the unseen. They take out all of these disbelievers and they kill, they beat the enemies. And Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu anhu leaves from there and is safely escorted back home. This is the nur of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, how many ummats used to pray, that when their du'as weren't accepted, when they were lost, when there was droughts, when there was no rain, they used to pray by the final messenger, you know, the Allah for the sake of the final messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, grant us this, and they used to get their relief as well. So now, Shirazbek just moving to the other side. Hazrat, the beautiful mother, the pious, the most pure mother of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha, and you know who she was. This wasn't just one lady and one kind of lineage that came to Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anha, and that his was a pure protected lineage. But then, the mother Mubarak was coming from a bit different. This was actually the same lineage that had split some further up. What happened?
Split and then come back together.
So basically, from Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, you had that lineage, and then at some point it split, and then but they were all pious and pure people, and then it was a beautiful way of then rejoining it back together, so that the best of creation blesses this world. So that was one side. That was the great Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, there was also obviously the mother Mubarak, and like we said, the lineage came together. Now, this amazing personality was the daughter of Hazrat Wahhab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this person was very pious, and so obviously the daughter Mubarak, Hazrat Amna radiallahu ta'ala anha, was known for her piety, her Allah-fearing qualities, her God-fearing qualities. And these people were all, in this lineage, were all on the religion of Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, and they worshipped one God, and so they weren't in any way associated with the pagan practices of the time. And Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala at the age of 24, he's, like we've described, so pious, so blessed. And then the wife he has is truly amazing. Truly amazing. You know, not only was she beautiful, but the scholars write actually that Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala and their father were looking for a pious wife, a pious lady to marry to this very pious, very beautiful and very attractive son who everybody was, you know, mesmerized by.
So it was like a perfect marriage.
A perfect marriage, you know. So Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah was looking for, Abdul Muttalib was looking for the perfect bride for his son, because the son was something special, and along comes this great hasti, Hazrat Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she has all the qualities they want. So this wasn't just a marriage that came together. They were looking for qualities for a special person, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, this very special person comes along. At the age of 24, they are married, and that nur we talked about from Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam is now transferred.
It was much before Adam alayhi salam.
Oh, much before, yeah. I'm talking about the Pishani, but yes, subhanAllah, you're right, because this was the reason for the creation of the universe. So that nur mubarak that Allah Azawajal created and stayed in the worship of Allah Azawajal is now transferred to Hazrat Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha.
At the same time, the fire which had been burning for 1,000 years in Persia.
And this was the fire that was worshipped, isn't it?
So because they would believe this fire is the Lord, is the God, the spirits revolve around it. They had very crooked beliefs in Persia, a certain group of people. It was a cult, Rumaya, it was a cult. They would worship this fire. And because this fire was lit, ignited for 1,000 years, they were very steadfast in their worship in this fire. Now, the Prophet's nur was a nur, and fire in its haqiqat is actually a type of nur. It's a type of light in its mada, in its essence. But the nur of Prophet Muhammad is dominant.
Allah.
And this nur, when it arrived, that fire that had been burning for 1,000 years, it was extinguished at that time when the Prophet was born. So this, the birth of the Prophet ﷺ, people realized, well, the wise ones, that this is something special. because movement was happening all around the world. As in
the Shiateen were running about thinking, what's happened? Something amazing, something special has happened.
It's mentioned even the Kaaba, it actually, on the birth of the Prophet,
it swayed.
It's mentioned that some of the corner that was facing the Prophet's house, them bricks actually fell. And it's mentioned, the scholars mentioned that this was, it was as if the Kaaba was performing respect to the house of Hazrat Amina for
Allah,
this birth.
Allah.
Upon this arrival, some of them bricks fell out. And it was as if it was bowing.
And showing, I suppose the Kaaba had been waiting for centuries for somebody to purify it.
It was created by the angels before Adam alayhi salam. And then it was rebuilt. I think it was 10 times it was rebuilt. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam specifically is mentioned in the Quran where him and his son, you know, they went on this journey. They built the Kaaba together. They made a certain dua, make this Makkah. It was a barren land at one point. No one could live there. He made a specific dua, Ya Allah, bring vegetation here, bring people here that are going to come here and do your zikr and remember you, and then send a Nabi here as well.
Wasn't that a dua? And you'll correct me if I get it wrong, but wasn't that the dua that keep the nur of Aka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam within my progeny till he arrived?
That was the essence of the dua.
The essence of the dua, wasn't it?
That send this Prophet, let him, and then this entire, from this silsila of Nubuwwat and pious men from Adam alayhi salam up until Hazrat Abdullah, this entire generation, civilization was because of this event that has took place now on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal in the house of Hazrat Amina. This birth where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born in her house.
So, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is born and this great event takes place. Now, we know that the blessed father of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this very pious individual, Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala, who actually passed away before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was actually born. But coming back to then, Hazrat Amina radiallahu ta'ala, she starts to look after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but then you have the Arab tradition. And the Arab tradition was that because Makkah was a trade route, and you had a lot of people from different foreign countries passing through Makkah, the posh Arabs, so to speak, that they had this thing where they wanted to keep their children pure. So they used to send them out to the villages to be fostered so that they learned the pure language, they learned the pure etiquette, and it kept them away from this kind of business mahal because it was a trade route. And so it was common for the women from these villages to come out at a certain time and try and look for children to foster. And the destiny of Hazrat Halima Sadia radiallahu ta'ala anha shone bright. All these women came, and she was the one who was blessed with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there was that famous waqia about her ride, I think it was, when she came to collect Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on the way there, she was the last, and her ride was very slow. And on the way back, she was the first. And the women were saying, why is your camel, your ride going so fast? And he said, I don't know. All I know is I've got somebody beautiful with me. And then when she went back to her house, you remember that famous waqia where the neighbors were saying, you're poor, yet you light a candle all night in your house. We can see the light. And she says, no, it's not. I don't have any candle. I can't burn oil at night. It's just the beautiful face of this beautiful child. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Once again, that nur,
alhamdulillah. Now, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is 5 or 6 years of age. And Hazrat Sayyidina Amna radiallahu ta'ala anha decides to go on a journey to meet the maternal family of Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anha. And her servant, Umm Ayman, is also with them. And it's on the way back, partway through that journey, that one of the most difficult times in the life Mubarak of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam occurs, that Hazrat Amna radiallahu ta'ala becomes ill and severely ill on this journey, to the extent that she knows that she's not going to make it. And then Hazrat Amna radiallahu ta'ala passes away at a maqame Abwa. Yes. And so at that point, obviously, there's just Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and this servant, Hazrat Umm Ayman radiallahu ta'ala. And so Hazrat Amina radiallahu ta'ala is buried there at that place as well. And, you know, the place was nothing, but now it's been blessed with the Hazrat Amna radiallahu ta'ala anha. So now, at the age of 5 or 6, you have the beloved of Allah Azza wa Jal, the mercy to the universe, and their blessed father has passed away before they were born, and now the one hasti that they loved so dearly, Hazrat Amna radiallahu ta'ala anha, leaves this world as well, and they are left in the care of their grandfather. And I remember that even then, even at that time of childhood, people adored, people were just mesmerized. I mean, can you imagine that their father, Mubarak, Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, people looked at him and couldn't take their eyes off him. Now you're talking about the, you know, Nur, you're talking about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it says that at the time of passing away, Hazrat Amna radiallahu ta'ala anhu looked towards this beautiful face and she said, "O cleansed boy, may Allah Almighty place blessings in you. O son of him who attained deliverance from the trap of death by the help of the bestower of great reward, Allah Almighty. O my beloved son, if whatever I have seen in my dream is true, then you will be a prophet of the Almighty, the most merciful towards the creation. You will be sent to Haram and outside Haram for Islam, which is the religion of your pious father, Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. So I give you an oath from the Almighty and forbid you from idols. Do not befriend idols along with other nations." And that was an amazing message. It referred back to Hazrat Amina radiallahu ta'ala, referring to Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, and saying to the best of creation, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is Aqa Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is 5 or 6, but she knows what she's seen. She's seen the amazing birth, she's seen the dreams, she's seen all the messages, and she knows it's the time for her to depart as well. And these final words and the mention of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam as well shows that she was on that line of the pious people, everything we've been discussing, that this lineage was truly amazing. What an amazing character Mubarak Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Never forgets the ummah wherever he goes, never forgets his parents, and always, what an amazing heart. I mean, you know, there's a famous, in Miratul Manaji, there's a famous quote from Hazrat Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha, that when she was about to depart from this world, and she's kind of in and out of consciousness, and Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is crying, she opened her eyes, and the words she said was, "The world will die, but I will not die, because I am leaving behind a son like you, due to whom I would be spoken of in the East and the West." SubhanAllah. And the scholar's right that she was an amazing waliyah of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that she could predict and she could see what was happening. I mean, she'd seen all the signs and she could see and predict what was happening. And those were her, you know, almost last words. And she could see this success coming. It was so magnificent. What an amazing, amazing personality. So, Shazbe, the blessed parents of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such amazing personalities in the whole of mankind. And when the beloved mother of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves this world, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is effectively a double orphan. Both of his blessed parents have passed away, and it is his grandfather and then his uncle who look after him. But we know that the blessed ways of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ikhlaq mubarak, and the amazing truthfulness and trustworthiness of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was truly magnificent. So we know that at this Maqame Abwa, the blessed and amazing mother of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they depart from this world. And that the final words that they give were truly amazing as well. There's mention of Allah Almighty, there's mention of this Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, but there's mention of this amazing
son. You know, passing away giving advice is Allah, the sign of a true believer,
well,
a true believer. You know, many people pass away without giving their children advice. Passing away with giving them good advice is a sign of a proper believer.
And at that time, when she's the riwayats say that she was very ill, Obviously, she passed away at that time. But and 5 years old, the best of creation. I mean, it was a very difficult time. And like you said, you know, she gives this advice. She mentions Allah Azza wa Jal. She mentions Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. She mentions the amazing qualities that are about to come to. She's even predicting the future, because the scholars write that this Waliya of Allah Azza wa Jal was predicting basically everything we know today 1460 years later. She said you were going to shine and light up the East and the West, and that's what Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. And you know, all her their blessed life, they'd been mentioning all of these beautiful attributes and what the future held. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never forgot the ummatis. Wherever Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went, whether it was in the cave, whether it was on the night of Mi'raj, or even at the time that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world. And that was one common theme through the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the other one was what you mentioned. It was this mention of their parents. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was hikmats in that. Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, had planned this perfectly and beautifully. There was hikmats in why Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala passed away before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. There was hikmat in why Hazrat Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away at the age of 5 or 6. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always looked back and remembered and thought about and loved their parents Mubarak.
On the way returned from the Hajj, he was with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. And once again, he was sad. He was quiet. He wasn't too pleased. And Hazrat Aisha realized. Hazrat Aisha realized that something's not right here. And the Prophet ﷺ had tears in his eyes.
Allah.
And Hazrat Aisha, because of this, began to cry as well. And Hazrat Aisha just basically gave the Prophet space. And the Prophet ﷺ came off his camel and went to the actual place where the parents of the Prophet ﷺ are buried.
Allah.
And it's mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ brought them with the permission of Allah, brought them out of their graves and meted and greeted them. The same way Isa ﷺ took the son of Nuh ﷺ out of the grave.
Allah.
And meted and greeted him, took them out of the grave. And he had a short conversation and made them read the kalma.
Allah.
He made them read the kalma, and with the permission of Allah, they went back to their final destination.
Now, in the end, you mentioned that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, after the final sermon, the Hujjatul Wida sermon, was at a certain place, and Hazrat Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha were there. And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was visibly upset and moved. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. The parents Mubarak, Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Amna radiallahu ta'ala anha, were brought out of their blessed shrines. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam then made them recite the Kalma Sharif, and then talked to them as well. Had the honor of, they had the honor of the company of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the pleasure of their company as well. And then they returned to their blessed shrines. And different scholars write this hadith in Mubarak, narrated by Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed, Ya Allah, resurrect my parents, and then accepted the supplications they read and brought faith upon the last Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you remember that we mentioned that this was, they were on the deen of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, they were on the fitrah, but this was to bring them within the ummat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you told us that very beautifully, that was because on the day of judgment, the ummats will be with their prophets. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one desire was that on the day of judgment, their blessed parents are with Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when they're in the ummat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the authority, you know, this is the great status of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does that famous poet say? Ke jisko chahe jo chahe ata kar de. So this blessing was given to the parents Mubarak to be with Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and close to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that blessed day. Viewers of Madni channel, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, we learned about the blessed parents of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those parents that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved so dearly. The mercy to the universe. Alhamdulillah, billions and billions of people have benefited from the mercy of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how blessed are those parents who were responsible for giving the world this special nur, this special light and this special guidance. And Allah Azza wa Jal, from Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam all the way through to these blessed parents, ensured that these were pure, clean messengers, prophets or saintly people who carried this beloved nur and blessed nur. And Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, on the 12th of Nabiul Nur Sharif, this beautiful and blessed nur blessed the world. And Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we were so fortunate that we are the receivers of the blessings of that nur. Inshallah, we will carry on with our second episode from here. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Oh my beloved Prophet of Mercy, oh my beloved Prophet of Mercy, oh my beloved Prophet of Mercy.